Thank you. And we are thankful for the Pottingers with this beautiful ministry that they have given to us of teaching the children and the youth about Christ. It's a long process, but at the same time, it is worth it. They need to learn that it takes time, but it's a way that we want to ground them strongly in their faith. Now, why we do this is because we all belong to the church. And this word that we have here, ecclesia, if you speak Spanish, it probably sounds familiar for you. How does it sound? Like what? Church. Ecclesia is iglesia in Spanish, is the church. And we are all part of this church. And one of the things that we remember during Confirmation Sunday is precisely that we are part of this church. Now, how do we start in here? And what does it mean? Take place an assembly. So that means that we are called together to be able to serve in other places and proclaim to others about who's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we enter in this place? We enter through the baptism. So that's why it's important for us. In baptism is like a stamp that puts in our heart saying, I belong to Jesus. And since that moment, I also belong to the church. Now, there is something very important about the church. The church is a place of accountability too. So you see, it is about here, we are all learning to grow with each other, and we're also empowered together to be able to see how God is able to use us in new places. But it's also a place where we can grow in our faith. And sometimes it means that we're going to confront each other in love in many ways. That's what the scripture that we read today was about. For it says, again, truly I tell you, Father in heaven, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. So this is talking about forgiveness. But it's telling that this happens in a context of a group. So the growth that we have as a church cannot happen in isolation. Always needs to happen in group. So in other words, this is where we apply the all y'all, right? All together. We are all growing together in this faith. Now, there are seven specific things that are expected in our growth as members of a church. And that's kind of what we ask right now to the conviction and to Pedro in this case. And I hope that you remember or to grasp that we are. So anytime or you have asked you, what does it mean that you're part of the ecclesia or the church? This is what it means. The first thing that we do is this. What is that word? Renounce. The very first is we renounce. What do we renounce? Agreements with the devil or sin. You see, there is so many things that we are receiving in our lives or doing in our lives that we know they are not helping us to grow and mature. So we need to take, first of all, a statement to say, those things that are coming to hurt my identity in Christ, I don't want to be part of that. You need to take a stand to say, that I don't want that to be something that defines who I am. So that's what is so important to say. You need to say, I don't want to have any statement with that. I want to be able about telling us, so how can we go there? How can we get in that place? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of what? So who are the witnesses? All y'all, all of us, we are those witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I love that term. Think as a runner. What happens when something entangles? Can you keep running? What happens? You fall. You fall. But the beautiful word we find is the scripture is not telling anything that you are going to deal with sin in your own. It's telling you specifically, you are going to deal with that cloud of witnesses that are your cheerleaders there helping and supporting you there. How many of you have tried to be on a diet in your own and have been successful? It's difficult, right? It's very hard. It's a lot easier when you are in team, in accountability with another person. Because in the moment that you're opening the Dunkin' Donuts place, you hear the voice of that person telling you, don't do that, hopefully. Hopefully the person is not telling, bring me one, you know. So that's it. Oh, you say, be careful about that. Be careful. So that brings you to a place of accountability. So it says in there too, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on who? On Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So the first thing is that we say, you know, I believe that these different things or these voices, them, I don't want them in my life and I don't want them to lead my life. That's the very first thing that we do. That doesn't mean that you already overcome them. That doesn't mean that you are like, okay, now I have no problem. I don't feel any temptation. That's not true. You're going to still be tempted. You're going to still struggle sometimes, but you're taking a stand of saying, I don't want my life to be defined by that. Because then there is another aspect. The second one, what is it? So the first one was, leave you alone to deal with that. It's giving you the charge. But even more important than that, he gives us a specific power. And it says, freedom and power in our lives by who? By the Holy Spirit. So we accept the presence of the Holy Spirit as the one who gives us that power to be able to overcome those sins and overcome those voices that are negative for us. The scripture says on Acts 1:8, you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So that's the power that we get to say, if I am feeling tempted, who's helping me to say no? It is the power of the Spirit. And the way that he's going to do it is by coming back and telling you, you are better than that. You don't need that in your life anymore. He's going to make you feel uncomfortable where you are allowing sin to come to you. He's also going to take away, don't listen to that voice. So I can say, you're going to have voices that are according to what God has told you. So that keeps you accountable to see what do you remember. And there are times, guys, that temptation is hard. It's hard to say no, isn't it? It's sometimes too quickly where you fall. And the Holy Spirit is the one that helps you to walk step by step to the point that you are capable to say, I am going to be more on a proactive place instead of a reactive. You're going to start saying, and the way we do that is also faith. How the Holy Spirit is talking to you and preparing you ahead. So when you feel and you need to deal with those things, then you are strong enough to say no. So the first one was renounce. The second one was accept. Now the third one is confess. We are, as Christians, called to confess just one specific thing. And we confess the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our confession. Now, how do we confess that? In many ways. Sometimes we confess Jesus through our actions. Sometimes we confess Jesus through our words. Sometimes we confess that through our testimony to others. What are we confessing about him? I love that scripture about the women, the Samaritan women. You remember that she is there trying to get some water. And Jesus is talking to her. And after he confronts her who she is, but also tells her, look who I am for you. So you see, in that moment, she was able to renounce and accept in one shot. She renounced and saying, I know I have been defined as the bad woman. But I accept the water of life that you are promising right now. And because of that experience, then she was able to go and proclaim that. She wanted it all to the people around her. She's not confessing and she's not proclaiming something she doesn't know. She's saying something that became an experience. So if you have experienced the Lord Jesus Christ, it's something that you know. How many of you here can tell me, I have received an answer of prayer from the Lord where he told me yes? Raise your hand. And you're thankful for that, right? How many of you here are thankful that one time when you asked for a prayer request, God answered to you no? And after the time, then you realize it was a good thing. Raise your hand. I'm so thankful God said no to my first boyfriend. Don't the label, but that's the truth. Isn't it? There are certain things that you said, now I can see in the long term how that was going to hurt me. How many of us we have prayed and say, and God has told you to wait, and it hasn't been easy, but it has been necessary, and you have become a better person after that? Raise your hand. We have been there. So when we are talking about confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, what you confess is that. You confess to say, I have prayed to God. And let me tell you, sometimes he's going to tell you yes. Sometimes he's going to tell you no. Sometimes he's going to tell you to wait, but in every single answer, you come after that answer in a stronger and more mature way than you could ever imagine. That's what you confess. Now, if you have never had an experience with Christ, do not feel this is judgmental against you. I want you to see Jesus has transformed a place for you to of many people that are here. Amen. Jesus Christ. You are alive because of him in many ways. We have a different meaning because of him. So that's what we are called to confess. So which was the first one? Renounce then? Then? Very good. Very good. Confess. Now the next one. Remain. Remain. This is important here. Remain as members and ambassadors of the church. This is probably, from all the things that I'm telling you, one of the most challenging. Because we are called to maintain ourselves in the church. I have told you this before. The church is a family. Now tell me from all of you guys, which one of you have a family with no drama? Raise your hand. If you say, everything in my family is chill, fine, no problem, no crisis, do you have those kind of families? We all have families with things on it. Some of them more dramatic than others. Some of them are like seasons. I have told you this before, we all have a weird uncle. We are having a weird uncle. And if you say, in my family, we don't have a weird uncle, maybe you are, and they haven't told you. You know, they don't confess to you, and like, they are around you. Yeah, here comes the compadre, yeah, smile to him. Everybody just, you know, we all have that. Even in the church, we are times when you are going to love each other and you're going to grow your faith. And there are times when it's going to be difficult that together where we grow. As the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it's with Christ. That's why we have the puzzles all around. Is that every piece counts. Every person here counts. Everyone here is important. So we are all part of this. And it is in that process of keeping together and connecting with each other that sometimes, yes, we're going to hurt each other. But if we come together with one mindset, the purpose is that we all think that mature and grow to the full as we read of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We connect because we have our look on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we keep that connection, there is grace that happens among us. So, which was the first one? Renounce. Second one? Accept. Third one? Confess. Fourth? Remain. Very good, guys. You are. And then fifth? Be loyal. To who? To who do we are loyal? We are loyal to Christ too. That's our priority. That's where we define who we are. Now, I love from this being loyal to Christ. As United Methodists, I'm also telling you, as a denomination, is created by who? By all y'all. By people. As I said, perfect people. No. Denomination? No, but we never have said that. But we are a denomination willing to listen to God. So we are about being loyal to Christ as a United Methodist. I showed you this before. And this one, I wish I can pray it every morning. That every morning I have this in my mind. John Wesley said, I want the whole church, the whole Christ for my Savior. The whole Bible for my book. The whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. What if every one of us wake up in the morning having this in mind? How will the world look like? Wouldn't you think it will be amazing? This, for me, I hope this is the vision of Northern Hills always. Christ is our center. The Bible is what we're going to have as the Word of God. The church is the place where we fellowship, but the world is where we're going to go, and it's our mission field. This is why I'm United Methodist, because of this kind of truth. So we are loyal to that. Then the next one is participate. We are called to participate. We are not called to just be spectators as a church, but we are called to be involved on that. How do we get involved? Do you remember that sermon series that I have months ago that I called the Give Me Five? What are those five things? Prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. How does that look in each of us? In different ways, service has its own. We all do it together. Not everyone can be doing the same thing or should be doing the same thing. Each one has a specific place to give and to serve. But at the same time, guys, everyone can do something. Everyone can do something. So this is what we're called. And then profess. What do we profess? This is probably one of the most important. We profess that the Bible is God's word. That's not something that we negotiate. It is not an idea from the past. It's not a suggestion. We strongly believe that the word of God is the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. I love what 2 Peter says. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its own origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried on by who? The Holy Spirit. So for us, is if you want, one of the worst things that we have in our present society is people giving a judgment of who is God, and you ask them, have you read the Scripture? No. Well, so how do you know him? You need to read the Scripture and the whole book so you understand better where he is and who he is. When we don't understand the entire background and we just like Xerox one section of the Scripture, then we are not understanding it in context. It's very important to see it in context. The seven reasons and the seven whys we are Christians. And I invite you in this season that we are, the season of Pentecost, when as a church, we are called to make a difference. You see, we heard today the confirmant class in different worship services, and Pedro in here, proclaiming this as what he's going to be guiding his life. And I don't want to that, all of those things that we just said and heard him saying yes, just to become words. I would like that to be the reason of our lives as Christians, the place where you and I really grow in our faith. So when a person looks at you, they look at you as a strong representation as a member of this church. So I invite you that while we sing this church, may we all in our hearts commit to grow as members of the body of Christ. Amen.